Liberty Unite podcast. Nyt ollaan jännän äärellä. Ensimmäistä kertaa Agility Uniten podcastin historiassa puhutaan jotain muuta kuin suomea tässä jaksossa. Minun vieraanani on siis Sofi Piro Unkarista. Päädyin tekemään tämän jakson niin, että olen jälkikäteen nauhoittanut tämän suomenkielisen osuuden, mitä esimerkiksi juuri nyt puhun. Sen lisäksi kerron suomeksi, mitä olen kysynyt Sofilta, ja jokaisen Sofin vastauksen jälkeen laitan vielä semmoisen lyhyen suomalaisen tiivistyksen. Mutta kuitenkin niin, että tästä jaksosta ehdottomasti eniten saa irti kuuntelemalla ne Sofin vastaukset. Jakso on hyvin haastattelumuotoinen, eli jos oot odottanut minun Saaran omia mielipiteitä sinne väliin, niin et juuri niitä kuule, vaan hyvin paljon Sofin kertomuksia unkarilaisesta agilitista, hänen mielipiteistä suomalaisesta agilitista ja sitten vielä aivan lopussa minun oma rakas lempiaihe, eli kielet ja eri käskyt siihen agilitiin eri kielillä, millaisia käskysanoja Sofi käyttää omassa agilitissaan. Mutta mennään jaksoon. Alkuunhan on vanha kunnon kysymys, että kerro jotain itsestäsi.
Something about you first.
Okay, I'm Zsófi Biro. I come from Hungary. I started agility as a little girl and I grew into it. Unfortunately, in my times there was no special junior championships yet, but okay, I started with an English cocker, and he was that kind whom everybody always said, this dog will never make a full course. So it was quite a glory to make it to 15th place of the World Championships with him. And okay, this very tough-minded boy, cocker boy, made me stay on path. And now I have two dogs. I have a Parson Russell Terrier with whom I actually competed a lot in Finland too. She is also a Finnish champion, and actually we toured the world around because she is very talented, so we had a chance to travel a lot and had a lot of invitations for seminars and so on. And I also have a Moody who actually got a Finnish name, Kaya, because when I had her, I was so much in love with Finland, and I still am, that I really wanted a Finnish name, and I tried to find some name, actually because of the inspiration from Lapland, to have some name from Santa's elves or his reindeer, but they were a little bit difficult to pronounce. So in the end, I started checking girl names on the Finnish list, and I ended up with Kaya. Okay. So these are the two dogs I have right now. I'm judging, I'm holding trainings, and I have my son, actually, who's also following me in this adventure. So he's really into doggy world, and we enjoy this life.
Sofi kertoi, että hän aloitti agilitin pikkutyttönä, jolloin ei ollut vielä junnujen MM-kilpailuja erityisesti. Hän aloitti semmoisella kokkerespanielilla, josta sanottiin, että se ei tule ikinä tekemään täyttä rataa, mutta he sijoittuivat kuitenkin lopulta MM-kisoissa 15. sijalle. Sen jälkeen hänellä on Parson, jonka kanssa hän on hyvin lahjakas Parson, jonka kanssa hän on kiertänyt ympäri maailmaa, ja heitä on kutsuttu ympäri maailmaa seminaareihin ja kilpailuihin. Sofilla on myös Moody nimeltä Kaija, tai Kaija, niin kuin hän sen sanoo, joka on tullut Suomesta, tai siis se nimi on tullut Suomesta, Moody on kyllä Unkarista. Ja Sofi kertoi haluanneensa jonkun poro- tai tonttu-nimen, mutta ne olivat niin vaikeita, niin hän sitten valikoi suomalaisen naisen nimen. Kerro jotain Unkarin agilitista.
Okay, we are not so big, but we have some very nice results actually. We might be like, what, maybe 300 or 400 dogs altogether.
Okay.
Nowadays we have competitions almost every weekend, which is nice because everybody can choose when to go. It's not like one event per month.
Okay.
But actually our agility committee tries to put a calendar together, so there's only one event on one day. So
in
the country, like we are a small country.
Okay.
And okay, it nowadays starts happening that we have two at the same time, but we try to commonly save the organizers, so to make sure that one doesn't take the show from the other, because okay, we have enough weekends to go.
Okay.
But we might not have enough dogs to go to five events at the same time. Also, Hungary is not so big, so the biggest distance you might do is 500 kilometers to go from one end to the other, so it's possible to travel and make it.
Whoa.
But mostly the events are happening in or around Budapest. Now we have some countryside locations that are really coming up and organizing beautiful events with nice prizes, nice number of runs, because that's inspiring people. Like when you go a bit further, for us, let's say 200-300 kilometers is already far to go for an event. But when you have enough runs, then you are willing to go. And when the organization is nice and you feel welcome, then you're happy to travel for it. And of course, we have very nice neighboring countries. Like we have very good events in Croatia, Slovenia, Austria and Slovakia, where we tend to go, and then we go as teams, as groups. So we sit together in the car and off we go.
One competition.
I think there's normally a limit when there's one ring. So in Hungary, we are not forced to have more rings in one event. And then the organizer makes a limit, let's say 140 dogs.
Okay.
But we tend to have events with two rings. It's not really common to have three rings. I cannot even recall an event in Hungary that had three rings, except maybe the EO when we organized EO some years ago. But that was, of course, a different case.
Sofi vastasi, että unkarilainen agility ei ole kovin suurta. Siellä on yhteensä noin 300-400 kilpailijaa koko maassa. Heillä on melkein joka viikonloppu yhdet kilpailut, siis koko maassa. Eli toisin sanoenhan kaikki kilpailijat, jotka on aktiivisesti kilpailevat, menevät näihin yhtiin kilpailuihin. He ovat yrittäneet koko maan kalenterit siis täsmätä niin, että yksikään kilpailu ei kilpaile toisen kilpailutapahtuman kanssa. Maa ei ole hirveän suuri, eli heillä on maksimissaan 500 kilometriä yhteen suuntaan, mutta kuitenkin jo 200-300 kilometriä mielletään kaukaisiksi kilpailuksi, ja silloin kilpailijat toivovat, että kilpailussa on paljon ratoja tarjolla ja hyvä ilmapiiri. Tämän lisäksi he käyvät naapurimaissa, kuten Kroatiassa, Sloveniassa, Slovakiassa ja Itävallassa. Sofi rakastaa Suomea ja haluaisinkin tietää häneltä, kun hän on monta kertaa käynyt Suomessa, että mitä mieltä hän suomalaisesta agilitista.
But what do you think about Finnish agility?
Well, I got to know it as a competitor first, and what I loved a lot that people were really cheering for each other and standing up, and they're very welcoming. So it felt like home when I came here to run with my dog. Actually, I can recall Agirotu competition as my first event here. And it was so much fun with the funny runs. Like we got dressed up, we made up a team of Smurfs. So we got all blue in the face and all the teammates were preparing for it. And I don't know, I remember another run when we had 1 minute of course walking. So it was like a funny thing and special. But also in other events, I always felt welcome. And And I felt like the quality of runs are really inspiring.
Okay.
So you really have to have a good run to make it to the podium.
Yeah.
And I love that kind of, it's positive pressure actually. So the whole environment is inspiring and it's easy then to do your best.
Okay.
So yes, I really enjoyed also traveling around Finland with the friends that I made here, and just coming back and seeing them again is a pleasure.
Sofi kertoi, että kilpailijana, kun hän on ensimmäisen kerran tullut Suomeen, hän on huomannut, kuinka upeasti ja ihanasti kannustamme toisiamme ja myös otamme ulkomaalaiset vieraat kannustajan vastaan. Suomi tuntui hänestä heti kuin kodilta hänen tänne tullessaan. Suomalaisen agilitin laatu on hyvä, joten jotta pääsee palkintosijoille, niin täytyy oikeasti tehdä hyvä rata. Ja hän oikeastaan tykkää tästä paineesta, että kun tulee se paine selviytyä, niin silloin tulee vaadittua tai revittyä itsestä vähän enemmän irti. Ja usein tulee se oma paras suoritus näihin hetkiin. Tätä kysymystä haluan vähän perustella tai taustoittaa etukäteen, eli itse seuraan paljon agilitya, suomalaista agilitykeskustelua, ja usein tuntuu jotenkin siltä, että me itse ajattelemme olemamme vähän takapajulasta ja muualla Euroopassa mennään korkealta ja kovaa ja me jotenkin ollaan jumahdettu paikoillemme tai tehdään asioita vanhanaikaisesti tai muuten väärin, niin tämän vuoksi kysyn sitten vähän pilkesilmäkulmassa Sofilta, että onko suomalainen agility old schoolia, eli vanhanaikaista?
You don't think that Finnish agility is old school?
No, I never had the feeling.
Because in Finland, like many of us things that we have to do something like in Europe, in Central Europe,
mm-hmm.
people do, and that's why.
But I think from my point of view, it looks like you are such perfectionists that you would
yeah.
like to make it better and better. And that's actually something that brings you ahead. And I think you do have a nice result. So
okay.
I think you can be really proud of yourselves where you are.
Go Finland.
But of course, yeah, go Finland, Suomi. But yes, there's always, I mean, agility is changing all the time. So
yes.
I think it's very good to keep an eye on other countries and what's happening elsewhere. Because then you might get new ideas also for course designs, not
yes.
to mention training ideas, and they can bring everyone forward. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's why we never get bored of agility. I just counted yesterday that it's actually 25 years that I've been doing it, but I never got bored of it because it's always like every training has a different course design. It's, of course, our dogs are not machines. So
yes
we know we can count on them or not sometimes, but still they might get good of something that we train on. Then they give us new challenges on something that they used to know from before. So
yeah.
I just really like this impulse. This is a continuous feeling alive kind of thing, because it's not like we are doing exactly the same steps in every training and year by year or country by country.
Sofi tuntui ennen kaikkea hieman hämmentyneeltä omasta kysymyksestäni ja hänen näkökulmastaan siis ennen kaikkea suomalaiset ovat perfektionisteja. Eli me halutaan tehdä aina vain paremmin ja paremmin ja sitä kautta me, tai tavallaan me ollaan hyvinkin, muut katsoo vähän, että mitä me Suomessa tehdään ja miten me Suomessa kehitämme agilitya. Tosin hän sanoi, että totta kai on kaikkien kannalta hyvä, että kaikki vähän seurailevat toisiansa. Ja agilityssä on juuri parasta se, että se muuttuu koko ajan. Ja juuri tämä muutos on se, että miten Sofi on jaksanut harrastaa agilityä jo 24 vuotta. Eli hän ei nyt siihen lajiin kyllästynyt siksi, koska laji muuttuu koko ajan. Ja tässä muutoksessa on hyvä pysyä mukana. Unkarissahan on kesällä aika kuuma ja tälleen suomalaisesta talvisuomalaisen näkökulmasta halusinkin tietää, että voiko Unkarissa ylipäätänsä tehdä kesäaikaan agilitya vai ovatko he kesäisin tauolla samalla tavalla kuin joskus suomalaiset ovat keskellä talvea tauolla.
This is super hot now actually. We have
can we do agility at the summer time?
Yes, we can, but we are rather restricted for the early morning hours, so we might go at 5 a.m.
Okay.
And finish our trainings at, let's say, 9 o'clock. Okay. Because then it's super hot. And we may start at 6 in the evening and keep up. Well, our days are not as long as yours, but it can be daytime until around 9, 9:30. So we have some hours there. And we try to, you know, like get our dogs cool down in between their runs. So those who have some natural water around, let's say I hold trainings in one of the places I hold, yeah, is near to the river Danube. So their dogs can go and swim. And the way I hold the trainings is that I have 2 dogs in 1 hour. So let's say one works and then has some time off, but in the meantime, he can go to the Danube to cool down, and the other one runs, so they exchange each other.
Okay.
Or where we don't have that, we of course set up pools for the dogs. And actually, yeah, Maikaya, her big reward in a summertime training is just doing a sequence and running to the pool. So she has a comment for it. It means, it says, go swim. And she runs off and lies down in the pool and loves it. So yes, we can do it in the summertime as well.
And what about the winters? You don't have snow.
Well, it does happen. Nowadays, it's more about the climate change that we don't have so much.
Yes.
So actually, it's rather easy now from the point of view of trainings, outdoor trainings, I mean.
Yes.
But we also have indoor places to go, so everybody can choose.
Okay, so you have indoor places.
Yes, so we don't have too many, but we have before we used to rent horse stalls, so yeah, we could go there where the horse people were not training.
Okay.
But nowadays we have actual agility halls which we can rent. So
okay,
there's like a calendar and we can sign up there and we take the place. It's like very exact hours. So like, you know that you have your time slot between 5 and 6 or something. And then you know that at 6:00 somebody comes and takes it over. So it
okay,
actually makes us also be very precise about training times, as they are big enough for running contacts.
Yes.
And we just had a new hall that was built and it has like a really big field, so it's possible to organize international events there. And we are very lucky because people from other countries really come to,
okay,
and enjoy it. So we also have high-level competitions because then we are also inspired by their presence.
Yes.
And yes, so the holes are big enough for running contacts. Not all of them are standard size.
Yes.
But they usually are big enough. There are some covered with sand, others have artificial grass.
Yes.
So you might also choose by that. Some are in the Budapest area. We also have actual agility holes in the countryside, so that's very good. Outdoor places are normally natural grass.
Okay.
So this year the grass is rather yellow than green because we are missing a lot of rain. But we hope that this natural grass stays up and we can use it.
Okay. We don't have so many places here with natural grass.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's something I noticed when I came to Finland first, that there are very few places with actual grass. You
yes,
rather have this sandy something.
Yes, sandy and this.
Yeah.
Oh,
the rain just came. Oh, so nice.
Yes.
Unkarissa on kesäaikaa todella kuuma, eli siellä voi tehdä agilityä kyllä kesäaikaa, mutta joko aamuisin tai ilta 6 jälkeen. Useimmiten he treenaavat kello 18-20.30, koska heille tulee pimeä toisin kesäaikaa meille Lapissa tulee. Jokaisella treenipaikalla on jonkunasteinen viilennysalue, joko ihan suora uimapaikka tai jos se ei ole mahdollista, niin sitten sinne on tuotu altaita koiria varten. Ja Sofi oikeastaan kertoikin siitä, että hänen oma koira jopa vähän palkkaa itsensä sillä, että jokaisen suorituksen jälkeen se menee piilentämään itseään veteen. Ja siihen hänellä on oma käskysanakin. Talvella Unkarissa ei ole lunta. He pystyvät treenaamaan ulkona, mutta heillä on myöskin nyt muutamia halleja siellä. Ennen ovat treenanneet hevosmaneeseissa, mutta viime vuosina tosiaan on rakentunut ihan agilityhalleja. Hallit ovat riittävän isoja myös juoksukontakteille, eli niitä pystyy niissä halleissa treenaamaan. Ja siellä pääkaupunkiseudulla on yksi ihan niin iso halli, että sinne mahtuu kansainväliset kilpailut. Tiedustelin noista treenipaikkojen pohjista ja Sofi kertoi, että ulkopaikoilla on usein ja aina luonnonnurmia, joka on totta kai nyt, kun on ollut todella kuiva kesä, niin hyvin keltainen ja kuiva ja toivoivat vähän sateita sinne. Ja sitten myöskin siitä keskustelimme, että kun Suomessa ei ole niin paljon niitä luonnonnurmipaikkoja, niin Sofi oli myös sen pistänyt merkille tai huomannut sen Suomeen tullessaan, että meillä on aika paljon hiekkaa ja sitten tekonurmia. Harmittavasti tämä keskustelu ei sitten syventynyt semmoiseen analyysiin siitä, että miten esimerkiksi tällä voi olla vaikutusta koirakoiden tai koiran nopeuteen tai muuhun. Ja hauskana yksityiskohtana sinnehän tuli, siis teimme stadionrakennuksen selostajan kopissa tätä haastattelua, josta ei suoraan näky agilitykentälle. Ja kesken haastattelun niin lappilaiset porot tulivat sinne meidän agilitykentälle. Sitten kysyin Sofilta, että mites heidän noi kokoluokat, että koska olen itse ymmärtänyt, että tuolla Etelä-Euroopassa erityisesti, niin suuret kokoluokat ovat paljon, tai larkekokoiset koirat ovat suositumpia kuin pienet. Ja Sofikin sitten, tai halusin tietää, että miten tämä sitten Unkarissa menee. Ja voin oikeastaan jo tästä heti tiivistyksenä sanoa, että kyllä, siellä on paljon isoja koiria ja vähemmän niitä pieniä koiria. Eli siellä sitten Sofikin on omaa sitä kilpailualuetta laajentanut, jotta hän pääsee kokeilemaan omia taitoja muitakin koirakoita vastaan kuin niitä 10 unkarilaista minikoirakkoa. Vaikkakin niiden määrä on viime aikoina lisääntynyt. Ja Sofi kyllä pitää, että unkarilaisen koirakoiden laatu vähäisyydessään on erittäin hyvä. Ja hän kertoi esimerkkejä viime vuosina menestyneistä unkarilaisista koirakoista.
Like, do you have many small size dogs in Hungary?
Mm-hmm.
We
mostly have large dogs. I think that's the bigger percentage.
Okay.
And in fact, that's one of the reasons. Okay, my Sheila, my Parson Russell Terrier, was small.
Yes.
And this was something that made me actually start traveling around, because as we competed, we more or less knew which of the, let's say, 10 dogs started in a small category, and you would know which 3 would be on podium. So I really wanted some new inspiration, and that's how I started stretching out my ways, trying to find like new paces and new people to, or new teams to run against. So I really enjoyed making it all the way to even Brazil. I competed at the South American Championships even.
Whoa.
And then all over Europe. And okay, my dog didn't make it to other continents, but in Europe we have so many countries and so many nice competitions to go to. I really enjoyed the ones that were even more days, like 3 days or a week long, like, I don't know, Agilityuken in Norway or Dania Cup or there are different ones all over Europe, and also the ones by subject. So you would find like a terrier championships or things like that. And so luckily she was resistant enough to make more days of competition. And then I could just find different places that inspired me.
Yes.
I think now we are catching up with the small and medium dogs, in the sense that we have quite a number already. Yes. The quality was, I think, always there. So I think our dogs and handlers are really capable of making results. Then it's a big question what happens on that special day when you are out there in the competition. Yeah. But I think our dogs are competitive. And we did have nice results. Like I think the very last big result was from Anita Siladi at the World Championships, who was second. Okay. That was in Liberec. So I think it was 2017. When she had that result, okay, we had COVID in between, so yeah. We didn't have a chance to make big results in the meantime. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're mostly large, and there's a number of small and medium as well.
Okay, and mostly border collies.
I think we have quite some other breeds too. The Hungarian breeds are, of course, very talented for agility. And actually, that's also something that I really liked about Finland, that it was not only border collies that I saw. So it's nice to see that you are also open and here. I mean, everyday people have sporty dogs and they run with all sorts of dogs. That's quite common in Hungary, too. So you can also find mixed breeds that are awesome. Yes. And obviously, as a second agility dog, people tend to pick a breed that is more capable. So yes, there is quite a high percentage of the border collies. That's right. And also Shelties. I think it's mostly some import Shelties, so from other countries that are agility lines that yes. make the big results in Hungary. But yeah, we start to have them being bred in our country too. So we also start having our own high agility quality dogs. Okay. And not only Shetties and Border Collies, obviously the Moodies are more and more popular. They're not an easy breed, I can tell.
I know.
They can be very sensitive, yes. but once they catch the feeling, they're such a pleasure to work with. They're very intelligent and very fast. So it's like driving a Ferrari. I really enjoy running my Moody.
Sofi vielä lopussa kertoi noista roduista, että siellä on totta kai paljon perinteisiä agilitirotuja, kuten border collieita ja selttejä, mutta myöskin unkarilaisia rotuja, kuten mudeja. Ja oikeastaan nämä mudit Sofi nosti esiin ja siitä, että miten tavallaan makea rotu mudi on agilitissa. Ja hän rakastaa siitä Suomea tai näitä Pohjoismaita, että me käytämme paljon unkarilaisia rotuja ja täällä niitä näkyy treeneissä. Tästä haastattelussa Sofi ei sitä sanonut, mutta treenien aikana hän sanoi, että saattaa olla jopa enemmän kuin Unkarissa itsessään agilitikäytössä unkarilaisia rotuja. No, Sofihan on tuomari ja meitä kaikkia kiinnostaa, että mitkä ovat hänen periaatteet tuomarina.
Let's speak something about judging. What are your principles?
Well, I could come up with the typical fluent and fast courses that are safe for the dogs. And this is not just sentence to say. I think quite some of us judges are referring to this, but this really is a principle. And nowadays, courses require, or we as judges require the dogs to be really well trained. So I think it's actually a challenge to set up a course where we can challenge the teams enough, because they are such well trained dogs. And but my aim normally is to also bring a course that inspires future training. So it's not like, okay, anyhow we will go there and make it, but maybe to get something that can give a new idea for training, right? So yes. not just typical situations, or of course, yeah, I mean, what can you call typical? How do you define typical situations? That's also a question. But yes, I would like to inspire the handlers for even more training, or just new ideas that they might have not trained for before.
What do you think about distance between obstacles? Like,
well, as the regulation is clearly defining it, yeah. we are the ones to follow it, and we are, as judges, the ones who have to follow it. So as long as the regulation doesn't change, that's what we have to use. But then, of course, we sometimes get like the bigger rigs, of course, which are very nice to design courses for. So, when a distance becomes too big, it can be like a little dog is just running and not finding anything to do. So when we look at the dog's point of view, we might also consider that. And it, of course, gives a lot of speed. So when the dog is running and like maybe running without much technique, just in straight lines all the time, it can be like also dangerous because if the dog is not trained perfectly for overspeeding, to say, then it can get in trouble. So I think there's also quite a high demand of training for these kind of courses. So, I mean, as handlers, we are also preparing our dogs to what they might find and to be conscious about takeoff points and the right technique for using their bodies. But as judges, actually, we have to follow what there is in the regulations. So I'm trying to do that as well.
Sofi nosti omitta periaatteistaan ensimmäisenä turvallisuuden ja jopa se korosti niin, että totta kai kaikkihan tuomarit vastaa, että turvallisuus hän on hänelle periaatteella, mutta hän halusi alleviivata, että hänelle se oikeasti on hyvin tärkeä ja ensisijainen periaate. Ja vaikka siis hän haluaa tehdä hyvin koulutetuille koirille sellaisia haasteita, mutta niin, että samalla ne radat ovat turvallisia, vaikka se koulutustaso ei olisikaan niin korkealla. Hänen toisena tärkeänä periaatteena on se inspiraatio, että jokainen kilpailija saa hänen radoistaan jotain inspiraatiota tulevaisuuteen ja tulevaisuuden treeneihin sekä uusia treeni-ideoita. Näin Sofin radalla kilpailleena, niin semmoinen oikeastaan on, että siellä oli paljon semmoisia kuvioita, mitä oikeastaan me tehdään kaikki jo treeneissä. Mutta ja nyt noi sitten siellä hienosti ovelasti ujutettu sinne kilpailurataan. Ja sieltä on helposti irrotettavissa kohtia tai yksittäisiä pätkiä, jotka mahtuisi esimerkiksi omatoimitreeniin erinomaisesti. No, minuahan kiinnosti nuo estevälit, että mitä mieltä hän on niistä. Ja hän totta kai tuomarina sanoi, että häntä sitoo säännöstöt, että estevälit pitää olla sääntöjen mukaiset. Eikä hänellä ole niin kuin niistä mahdollisuutta joustaa, että säännöt määrittävät sen estevälit. Yritin oikein kaivella sit sitä, että no, pitäisikö tässä olla muutosta. Ja Sofi sitten vastasi siihen, että liian isot välit voi tarkoittaa sitä, että pienet koirat on siellä niin kuin ihan hukassa, että ne vaan juoksee ja seuraava sitten tulee joskus. Taas sitten taas suurille koirille se vauhti nousee. Voi nousta aivan vaaralliseksi saakka. Ymmärrän kyllä taas nyt tämmöistä omaa analysointia tänne väliin, että siis tästähän tulee helposti mieleen, että Sofilla sitten oliko hänellä lyhkäisiä estevälejä, mutta ei ollut, että hän todella siis noudatti kisoissa, että hänen estevälit oli pääsääntöisesti sitä 7 metriä, ainakin näissä meidän kisoissa, eikä hän juuri käyttänyt sitä valikoiman lyhyempää päätä. Sitten meitä olemme kysyneet aiemminkin haastattelussa ja olleet siitä kiinnostuneita, että milloin koira on valmis ykkösluokkaan. Mitä Sofi tästä ajattelee?
When dog is ready for grade one?
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously when it recognizes when they recognize all the obstacles, that's that's quite top priority, and when they can focus on their handler and are not running away. But still, that can happen. Like I thought, like let's say my very beginning in agility with the sniffing cocker spaniel, which would already do good runs in trainings, but it can happen that in a competition it still feels something new and just runs off sniffing. So like you might see some performers that you say, oh, this dog should not be in competition yet, but maybe it's just a different environment that brings different attitude because of the atmosphere. So it's very hard to tell from like an external point whether a dog, of course, when you see that a dog is unable to do a set of weave pulls, you might say that it's not ready, but maybe it's ready because it's doing it in the trainings already, so it has to be prepared. I mean, it needs the experience to do it yes. in the competition too. I'm just thinking how to answer your questions because it's hard. I mean, they are, as I said, they are not machines. So it's what's very nice in Hungary, we started having the beginner competitions, which are not even official. So you can just have jumps and tunnels, and we can get the dogs be prepared. The age limit is still 18 months.
Okay.
But I see it as a big advantage of a situation to be prepared for. And I see in some countries, dogs are struggling in grade one because they've never been to such an environment, or like just the situation of having to travel someone and then perform after having traveled and all that can be difficult. But when they do that with very easy courses, and our beginner courses might just be 12 obstacles. So we don't even make it to the minimum of 15. Actually, we have like sometimes a special competition for only beginners. So okay. It's not an extra game at the regular competition. And there we might even divide by the beginners and the very beginners. Okay. Still, the age limit is there, but they don't have to jump so high. And the courses are short. And it's really about jumps and tunnels so they can run. I think it helps obstacle focus as well, which is very important in nowadays courses with the big distances, and that they learn to work independently. Also in this new environment, but the task is easy, so they don't have to do weave pulls, they don't have to do contact or anything like that. It's really only about being used to what's out there, even the whistle that blows or the microphone or other dogs and everything. So I don't even know what country it was that I judged at, and the dogs were really struggling in A1. So I said, why don't you just organize this kind of events? And they never thought of it. They have a beginner class. Now I remember it was Italy. They have beginner class anyway, but it's really like a grade one. So they have all the contacts. They have the weave pulls, and it was difficult. It was too much for the dogs.
Okay.
So in Hungary, this is not official, so anybody can do it. And still it goes through the same system in the sense of registration and everything. So even the handlers are learning how to get into the competition world. And you can still see the results. Everything is very precisely done. Wow. But and you can also have the regular judges, because from this year as judges, we are also allowed to judge on official events.
Okay.
So we are free to help out actually the new generation, which I think counts, because yes, okay, trainers can set up courses, but we are actually trained how to design courses.
Yeah.
And then, of course, those people also meet us. They see that the judge is not some kind of a monster, but we are human beings. So I think, this whole thing is a really good idea, and I really recommend it to everyone, because
yeah,
it's fun.
In Finland,
you do? Okay.
Yes, we have like in Arcade Unite, we have it once a month.
Oh, that's excellent. So you have a regular option to do that.
Lyhyesti ja ytimekkäästi Sovi vastasi, että koira on valmis ykkösluokkaan, kun se tuntee kaikki esteet. Ja hän todella kertoi sitä semmoista armollista sanomaa, että koirien arviointia ei pidä tehdä sen kilpailusuorituksen perusteella. Eli meillä on paljon koiria, jotka ei kilpailuissa pysty esiintymään tai antamaan semmoista treeninomaista suoritusta esimerkiksi jännittämisen tai herkkyyden vuoksi. Ja tätä kautta se keskustelu kääntyikin aika nopeasti sitten heidän tuommoiseen aloittelijaluokkaan, joka on Unkarissa käytössä, joka Suomessa varmasti tunnetaan paremmin mölliluokkana tai möllikilpailuna tai epiksinä niin sanotusti, ja jossa pääsisi harjoittelemaan jo ennen kilpailuuran alkamista ihan sitä kilpailemista ja kilpailupaikalle siirtymistä, jossa kuitenkin sitten ne haasteet siellä itse kilpailuradalle ei olisi koiralle liian kuormittavia, eli ne olisi niin sanotusti niitä pelkkiä hyppyputkiralleja. Ja kerronkin Sofille, että tämmöinen meillä Suomessa on, tosin meidän ikäraja näissä on useimmissa paikoissa sen 12 kuukautta, kun taas Unkarissa he ajattelevat sen olevan sen 18 kuukautta, että koirat pysyy, tai nuoret koirat pysyy nuorina ihan sinne sitten loppuun saakka. No, mun oma rakas aihe on erilaiset kielet ja rakastan kuunnella ulkomaalaista agilitia, että millaisia ihania käskytavuja tai käskyjä noi ohjaajat valikoivat eri kielillä. Ja tästä oikeastaan tässä seuraavasta osiosta en aio tehdä tiivistystä, että siellä kyllä kuulet niitä englanninkielisiä sanoja ja saat sen tästä kyllä hyvän kuvan, vaikka en tätä sen enempää suomenna. Ja tää on oikeastaan hirveän hauska osio.
And finally, I love languages, so I so wanna hear your comments.
I also love languages. I actually speak 5 languages, so I started using that also in dog training. And when I couldn't find another one in Hungarian, I use it different. You're interested in the agility comments,
yes,
not
yes.
The other. Okay, so let's go on. Like
what
like turn right, turn left, whatever. Okay. Like I also have the comments for going around my legs, just on different directions.
Okay.
So
okay,
I really
yes,
use the
what do you do in agility?
Okay, so funny, but for the start line for my parson, I did use from Italian resta. For quite long, but then of course she's starting being a terrier, and then I retrained the start line a million times, so then I got different comments on that. But okay, then for jumps, it depends what line we are taking. So in, out is körbe for me. Okay, with the Moody, I didn't have so much time to tell long words, so it changed to kör, which can be similar to your tierra, probably.
Yeah.
And what else? Then, just the straight line is hop. I think hop. That's quite international.
Yeah.
I use separate for dog walk and the seesaw. Of course, they look the same for the dogs, but it's important they know what to take. So actually with my Moody, the dog walk is mene. I found it fun. Yes, and in Hungarian you might say mennyel, but it's harder. It's easier to say mene. It's cool, and it also counts when I say it. So actually, I figured out in training that she was sensitive when I bothered her with my voice during the dog walk.
Okay.
So I just said it for taking it, and then it's her job to do it.
Yes.
But like for my parson, the dog walk was fush, 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 which means run in Hungarian.
Sounds like in Finland we say who's when you want someone, go away.
All right. Well, she has to run there, so something like that. And what else? Tunnel is kusik. So, or you can say kus, but in Hungarian I use the longer one, kusik,
really?
Because that's like kind of, I feel like it pushes the dog to run through the tunnel.
In Finnish, kusi means 6. Kus is like devil's number 666.
That's funny. Okay, then siso is hinta. But I try to use it in a longer, lower tone, and kind of like dividing the word hinta. So it means swing. That's the name in Hungarian.
Okay.
So that's what I use for the seesaw. And for the A-frame, I use föl, which means up.
Okay.
Again, I kind of make it like a background noise for my dog. So it's her job to do it, but it's like a support for how, like okay. that she focuses on that.
Yes.
And I can also run away in directions in the meantime. And I use slalom.
Okay.
Again, keeping up the background noise as long as she's doing the slalom. So it's like supporting her and I can run away in any direction. What else? I'm just looking in the meantime at the course outside so I can remember what other... yeah, okay. For the double jump, I use a separate word. So it's
okay.
Dupla. I use double. Yes, I think it's important because it needs a different jumping technique from the dog. And also the long jump, I use a separate one. So I say távol, which means far away
okay.
in Hungarian.
What about
tire? Yeah. Tire, yes, karika. It's tire in Hungarian. That's again in Hungarian, and like in groundwork, I use lábhoz or mellém, which means to my leg and by my side to actually run around my legs and run away. So it means. I mean, I expect my dog to take, like, go around my both legs, just standing still,
yes.
and run forward. So they have to learn to run, and then they search for some object, like an obstacle to do.
Okay.
So it's also an independence, and to be able to shape which direction they take. So, I mean, I don't have to show it, but they are conscious about the directions. Just like when you teach the directions on the jump. Oh, yeah, I use the tick and tap. On the jumps for tap, tighter, tick, tap, depending on which direction the dog turns. And then because this was so with my legs, I used up the word that normally people are like everyday dog people are using for sitting at your feet. Then I use heel for sitting and close for sitting on the other side.
Okay.
So in like the obedience kind of a heel work or something like before when they come to the heel and sit down. That's the heel and close for me. So there I use the English word. So I'm trying to find something that is easy for me, but I'm using the languages that I speak. We had the tire, the long jump, the wall. I also use the wall. No. For the wall, I just use regular hop.
Oh,
for me, that's just a jump.
Okay.
Yes.
What about the wrap turn?
The wrap turn was the tick and tap.
Okay.
Tick, tap.
Okay, and in and out.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, yeah, in and out.
Yes.
When I started using, still with my pass on the tick and tap, she learned it faster than I did. So it happened a few times in trainings that I wouldn't find out why that she is choosing a certain direction when I'm doing different with my... with my handling, but she actually followed the verbal. So,
whoa.
So yes, and also the in... especially with my Moody, is very strong. She can do very hard angles just by the verbal. So, yes, I think that's something that is good to use, the verbals. Apart from, yes, of course, body language is super important.
Yes.
But that was a surprise in the trainings the last few days, that here I heard less verbals.
Yeah, we don't use it so many.
But the dogs... I think to prepare for their jumping technique, and okay, I did a lot with the spider and the different grids, also for turns on the grids, so not only the straight lines, but the stride regulators for jumping, but to be prepared how to collect with their bodies in case of need, and I think it's good to have a verbal for that. And another thing in the trainings that we had here, that I also use a word for focusing on the obstacles. So I say figyelj, which means listen or watch or something like that in Hungarian. I could say focus, which again I use in a little bit extended way. So the dog has a chance to look. I teach it, of course, with foundation, so it doesn't start with the actual obstacle, but to look at an obstacle. So especially in today's course lines, when even the first jump might be ahead of us and then we have to go backwards, so to say, towards the course, and the dog actually learns to turn the head and stare at the obstacle. And it's not only for border collies. So I also teach it to other breeds, and it's a great way to help them to be prepared for for starting agility, also for the motivation in some dogs. So you can make a countdown or something, and then they are like exploding to start to start their run. Whereas otherwise they might be okay. That's just we arrived there.
Yes.
And also because just the idea of having obstacle focus and them having to find what to do is helping in the course line too. So I can easier send the dogs, which in the big lines and big distances, yes, getting back to that topic, is important. So they search for what to do, and in the meantime I can escape for other areas of the course, and that's how I can cheat a little bit with my distances, so I as a handler can run less and cut off the ways.
Yeah.
And layer, of course, which is really common nowadays in the course designs, that there's an obstacle in between us not to take, so the dog can aim for something else because it knows by the verbal what to search for. Or of course, when there's a decision to make, like let's say a tunnel under the dog walk or something, so they know by the verbal what to take.
Oh, yes. And so you don't
have to. Yeah, I don't have to actually handle it so much because they also, I handle it. But.
Ihan siinä lopussa Sofin kanssa keskusteltiin hänen ohituskäskystä tai ohituskäskyn puuttumisesta, ja hän juuri siinä kertoi, että ei halua siis keskittyä siihen, että mitä ei pitäisi tehdä, vaan keskittyy vain siihen, mitä pitää tehdä. Ja tästä tämä koko homma sitten laajeni henkiseen valmentautumiseen, mental training, ja että hän on itse käynyt tuolla henkisellä, tai siis mikä, psyykkisellä valmentajalla. Ja siitä hän oikeastaan kertoikin sitten, että siellä juuri siellä psyykkisessä valmennuksessa on tullut erittäin tärkeäksi siis siirretty fokus siihen, että keskitytään siihen, mitä halutaan tehdä. Eikä todellakaan kiinnitä huomiota niihin muihin asioihin, tai siis semmoisiin asioihin, mitä vaikka mitä pelkää tai mitä haluaa ohittaa vaikka agilitiesteessä, että et todella keskity ansaesteessä siihen, että kumpa koira ei menisi putkeen, vaan me keskittyy siihen, että koira menee sinne hypylle esimerkiksi. Ja tästä tämä meidän koko homma keskustelu sitten vaan laajeni tuohon henkiseen valmistautumiseen ja siihen, että miten agilitisuoritus kun kestää sen 30-40 sekuntia, että miten opetella sen oman keskittymisen huippu saamaan just siellä omalla suoritusvuorolla, koska se ei ole mitään hyötyä, jos se tulee liian aikaisin sen huippu tai sen 30-40 sekuntia jälkeen, eli sen suorituksen jälkeen pääset vasta sinne, saat sen piikin kärjen niin sanotusti. Ja Sofi sitten kertoikin, että hän on silloin, kun hän on tavoitteellisesti kilpailut niin hän on asettanut jokaisen siis tavoitteen portaalle ja just silleen, että mikä on se niin kuin jokaisen ne tavoitteen välistepit ja millaisia harjoitteita ne välistepit sisältää, ja jokaisen tavallaan jokaisen askeleen saa vielä pienemmiksi askeleiksi. Ja siellä voi esimerkiksi näitä piikkejä harjoitella. Ymmärsin tämän näin, että vaikka itse päätät jotain kilpailuja, missä sun pitää niin kuin yrität saada päästä sinne oman suorituskyvyn huipulle sillä oikealla sekuntiluvuilla. Ja sitten tähän niin kuin aina tavoitteisiin kuuluu vahvasti toi arviointi, eli siihen omaan valmentautumiseen kuuluu sitten se, että kun sulla on ne stepit asetettu, niin arvioit sitä, että miten tuli suoriuduttua, millä tasolla ja esimerkiksi tarviiko ne jotain muutoksia. Ja se semmoinen niin kuin aktiivinen peilaaminen, reflektointi on siinä sitten tässä valmistautumisessa tärkeää. Ja aivan lopussa Sofi sanoi, että on, hän kaipaa tällä tasolla, huipputasolla kilpailemista, vaikka aika ei ole juuri tällä hetkellä oikea siihen.
So I don't want him to focus, or even myself, to focus on being worried that they might do something else.
Yes.
I just want to push them into what to do, what they should
do.
Find and do. And yes, I think this thinking is also part of mental training. I did mental training with them, actually with a non-agility person, but a person who was preparing Olympic sportsman for competing.
Okay.
And I learned a lot of techniques that helped me to make the big performances. So I had some very good results on the international level. And so that's also part of the mental training, that you want to focus on what you want to do instead of being worried of what you don't, what you shouldn't. So it's not like, oh my God, don't take that tunnel, but please take the contact. That's what I mean.
Okay, yes. Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot behind, of course, in a preparation, and especially when you go high level, because then you're running for the 0.0 some seconds. So yeah, there's a lot of precision, being very precise, and then even when you can be super precise, you have to be super precise in those actual 30 seconds. So I think it's also very interesting, like in the beginning, this it was a sports psychologist, actually,
yes.
That's the official name. So he made tests just to understand the how my brain functions.
Okay.
So there are actual tests for sportsmen to understand the way of concentration, because there might be some people who can, like when they switch on for competition mode, they can focus right away. And there their attention goes down. But maybe some need longer time to warm up their brains. And what the point of these is to be able then to time your, so knowing how your own brain works and connecting it to your actual activity. So in our case, let's say 30, 40 seconds in the course, and to make sure that you can time your attention of your brain into those 30 seconds when it's your turn. Because if your 30 seconds are in the next 30 seconds, then you're late, of course. So when your brain is ready to compete for competition high level mode, when your run is over, you know, it's already late. So I don't know if I'm clear with this explanation, but
yes.
So there are peaks, actually, there are, you can make graphics of it, and then you figure out, and then you can work on the details of on how to do that.
Whoa.
It's very, very interesting. And then, of course, comes the whole idea of planning your competition year, so you build up to have the high performance in the qualies, clearly, and then in the big events that you go to. But maybe you use, like I used to, I'm very graphical. So, okay, we drew a set of stairs,
yes.
And we broke it down into pieces. So to say, we named every step of the stairs with certain competition. Let's say the top is qualies, okay?
Yes.
And then you decide what competitions you will make and what is your aim at the competitions there. But of course, in the meantime, you can make even smaller stairs between the steps. So you have the trainings there. And again, you make your decisions on what to train. And then you have to evaluate in the meantime, because you might need make a plan for, I don't know, 7-8 months. But maybe after 3 more months, you review. Or even every week, you can review at what point you are, if you want to adjust your plan. So it's very interesting. It's not just, okay, I'll go out there and do 2 times the slalom and I will run something that I find in the ring. But
yes.
But when you specifically want to be prepared for the big events, you build it all up. And and that needs so much effort and everything that I would love to do it again. But for this very moment, I'm postponing for the next talk because I want to make sure I can do it at this level again, because
okay.
It's so much fun and so exciting to figure out how it goes, because neither dogs and us are machines.
No.
So it's really, really interesting work.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you listen this far, I'm thank you to Sophie. I don't know where she is at the moment. I think maybe somewhere in Europe. This was such a huge pleasure to have a conversation with you, to have you in our podcast. And welcome back to Finland, maybe, or maybe we see around in Europe someday in future. Ja suomeksi kiitos kaikille, kun kuuntelitte tänne saakka. Voit jättää tästä jaksosta palautetta, että oliko aivan järjettömän sekava tälleen suomea ja englantia yhdisteltynä. Ei tietenkään tätä jaksoa olisi voinut ehkä toteuttaa muuta kuin sitten kokonaan englanniksi ja jättää nämä suomihälytykset pois. Mutta jätä palautetta tai ihan vaan fiilistele. Ja jos on sulla kaikkien näiden kuuntelukertojen jälkeen semmoinen tunne, että sulla olisi just meidän podcastille jotain sanottavaa, joku hyvä näkökulma, niin ilmiönä itsesi, niin järjestetään haastattelu. Kiitos!